Good morning, everybody. Thanks for tuning into Engaging Walk. My name is Drake. Today is the 23rd of April, 2025. It's been about 5-6 months since we've been able to get a new episode out. We want to thank all of the new listeners, all the steady listeners. We've seen an uptick in interest in Engaging Walk podcast during the sabbatical. And we want to thank you guys so much for all of the attention and all of the love. You know, we really can't do this all without, you know, this is why we do this, is for marriage advice and all the lessons learned that we have, you know, done either the easy way or the hard way. We crystallize that as best as we can and give it all to you. So again, you know, we will discuss more about what's been going on in the last 5-6 months once Ruby and I are able to get together to do an episode. Today is just me. But for those of you who may or may not know, the reason why we haven't been able to do much in terms of the podcast lately is because we have a one-year-old. And, you know, we are largely doing it by ourselves. We don't have a whole system of, you know, family connections and, you know, family network over where we're at. So we're just chugging along doing it on our own. So we have a lot of advice and a lot of lessons learned that we will share on that later. But today I wanted to continue on with our 5 C's of connection episodes. So back in October, July, that we were able to establish the 5 C's of connection, which are compatibility, and then we discussed chemistry. Today is communication, and then coming up, we will have compromise and commitment. And afterwards, we're going to be talking a little bit more about family culture, and then an episode discussing the idea or the strategies around maintaining identity after having children, which is a huge struggle, one that we have been dealing with, and we've been, you know, learning from other parents as well, different strategies of, you know, maintaining intimacy, maintaining your sense of self, maintaining that time alone and with such a demanding schedule of, you know, raising up a little human. And, you know, so tons of things to talk about, tons of things that are becoming up in this podcast. So, and now that we've gotten all of that out of the way, we will begin with today's topic of discussion, which is communication. So again, we are building off of this idea of the 5 C's of connection. So communication is certainly going to be one of the most important, maybe even the most important aspect of maintaining connection, because as your relationship with your significant other, whether it be your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever stage you are at in your relationship, there will be increasing demands on open communication and uncomfortable communication. And the whole idea behind Engaging Walk is to get out of the house, get out of your apartment, get out of your home, and go to a new setting. Go to go take a walk in a park or a trail, somewhere where you're able to just focus on each other and focus on the challenges and or the triumphs in your relationship. And that is like the bedrock of communication, is taking time out of your day to communicate. And it could be about anything. You know, my wife and I had a long discussion the other night about the Bible. You know, it was Easter Sunday, and, you know, we were just like reflecting on the biblical stories, and we just got into this really long discussion about Easter. And it was great to connect. It was great to just have that moment of not dealing with chores or bills or anything, and just having a dialogue. And that's what it's all about, is maintaining that connection, maintaining the open dialogue, the open communication that more or less like, well, sometimes I think it's best to think about it as in terms of like almost like a friendship, right? Like, and that's, you know, we talk about the Bible a lot, and we talk about Christianity a lot in Engaging Walk. So, you know, I was just revisiting Genesis this week, and, you know, God talks about, or the Bible in Genesis talks about how God gave Adam Eve, And this priest, I think his name is like Father Schmitz. I don't remember exactly his name, but he has a really great podcast. It's like 365 days of the Bible. And he had this great idea about why the rib was significant, in that that God didn't take part of Adam's skull and use that to form Eve. And he didn't take part of his foot. Like, so he's sort of like signaling in the sense that because he took part of his rib, that it's close to his heart and it's by his side. So it signifies a partnership. And I think that's really important to consider. And then, you know, I'm going to just go from memory that, like, once Adam sees Eve, that he fully recognizes that this is his flesh and his blood, that this woman was made from his flesh and his blood, and he finally has a partner. And then even the biblical word that is used to describe Eve is, I don't remember exactly, but it can be summarized as like a helpful partner. So that's a really important concept to think about, that, you know, you're going through life together, side by side, hand in hand, close to each other's hearts, and there's an aspect of communication that must be maintained throughout the whole process. And like I was saying earlier, there is an increased demand in more and more communication that flows both ways. And that is essential in order to maintain a progression in the relationship, if that makes sense. You know, just as, you know, things, once you get stagnant in whatever it is that you're doing, let's say, you know, I'm a guitar player. I love playing guitar. And, you know, you get stagnant. You're not learning anything. You're not learning new skills on the guitar. You're stagnant. You're not progressing. You're just kind of like in limbo. You're staying in the same spot. And it doesn't do much to enhance your affinity towards the project of like learning guitar. It doesn't do anything to like motivate you more. And that can happen in a relationship if we run out of things to discuss, if we run out of things to talk about. You know, life gets busy, you know, people have children, people have all sorts of new things that get thrown at them. But if we don't take that time to, even just once in a while, like once a week or once every other week, and really just have good dialogue and good communication about something that is important to one another, that is important to us, you know, ideally it should be happening every day, at least just for like a couple of minutes. But we also have to break up that monotony of, you know, just discussing, oh, okay, this is what happened today. How was your day? This is what I did. This is what I ate. You know, those are all important, but we need to have that sense of friendship also that is essential to a romantic relationship. And that is going to require some, you know, difficult or thought-provoking, engaging conversation, you know, hence the name Engaging Walk, right? So that's what our task is for you guys today. Find a topic that is really meaningful to you and discuss that with your partner. You know, if you don't really, hey, I don't really have anything I really want to discuss. Like, what would I even discuss right now? You know, it really could be anything. We live in the world of AI right now, so you can even ask ChatGPT or Grok, or who, you know, whichever AI program that you like, and say, hey, you know, AI program, give me 10 really significant topics that I should be discussing with my partner, and pick from one of them. You know, actually, we could do that right now. I'll ask ChatGPT and see, like, hey, you know, what are some topics that I should be discussing with my significant other, and see which ones come up. And you know, I use ChatGPT a lot for, you know, thinking like that and getting ideas. What are some topics? Let's see what he says. All right, we're just waiting for his reply. And so he's thinking, he says, well, here's some good meaningful topics. He's talking about, you know, right here we got dreams and future goals, values and beliefs. Under dreams and future goals, he says here, I don't know, I kind of personify ChatGPT as male. I don't know about you, but under dreams and goals, he asks the question, what do you both hope to achieve personally or as a couple? Values and beliefs, what really matters to each of you? Childhood memories, you know, those are always really important. What love really means to each of you? How do you, you know, how do you feel most loved or appreciated? And that, of course, goes back to, you know, our love languages. You know, I think it was probably around like episode 20 that we did our love languages. Fears and insecurities, what makes you feel vulnerable or unsure? Everyday connection, you know, of course, like how their day went. Some questions that are fun and light, like would you rather questions? Travel dreams, favorite TV shows, or TV shows that you watched when you were single that, you know, you bring up to your spouse. Like I know, or your significant other, I know I brought up Burn Notice to my wife. I was like, oh, I used to love Burn Notice. I know that my wife loves spy shows. And then we watched like Person of Interest together, and we both loved it. It was a great show. And I was trying to like hype up Burn Notice to her. I was like, yeah, Burn Notice like shows you whole, it's like MacGyver, but it shows you a whole bunch of stuff like that, like you're really not supposed to kind of like know about. Like so I hyped it up. I was telling her all about it. Like I even forgot the guy's name. Like, oh, Michael Weston, the character, like all the things that like Michael Weston does in the TV show. And she was like, oh, that sounds really interesting. And like, we watched the pilot together and she hated it. She was like, it seems goofy. It seems like, you know, not a very serious show. And I was like, yeah, well, it's kind of like lighthearted. Like, you know, the character Bruce, like makes it, you know, has so much comic relief in the show. You know, the Navy SEAL guy, I forgot the actor's name, he's a great actor. He played in like Evil Dead, but you know, it's a great, TV show for me. As I described it to her, she liked it, you know, and then we found out in the pilot that she didn't really like, you know, the style of the show. So, those are always, you know, fun things that you can talk about. And then he says relationship check-ins. How are things going between you? How your love languages are showing up lately? That's a really important one. Like, you know, hey, I know that your love language is physical touch. You know, like what are some ways that I can engage with you in physical touch more? And that's great advice for me too. Like life gets busy. And the whole point of this podcast is to bring up an intentionality in maintaining our relationships, because our marriage is the most important relationship that we have. And, you know, my wife and I have a daughter now, you know, a little girl, and it's such a big responsibility. And it's very rewarding. It's super rewarding, but it's also very, and some people, I think, get into this like trap where they think like, oh, my child comes first. You know, my child comes first. Like I have to put my child above even my spouse. And that's really problematic. You know, if you really think about it, what your child really needs more than your undivided, unwavering dedication to them, which is important, you know, but it can't come at the price of alienating your spouse, because I am a product of a divorce home. And I know from my experience, and I'm sure that this probably speaks true to a lot of people, is what I would have loved above, you know, all the toys and all that kind of stuff, and then all the help with my homework and whatnot, was just to have my family like intact, together. My parents together, them both working together, them both loving one another. Even if it meant that, you know, my mom or my dad like didn't pay as much attention to me, the stability that the marriage brings to the family is a greater source of positive influence than just undivided, unmitigated love and affection. Hopefully I'm making this point clear, that it's worth it in the long run to, if you have children, or even if you don't, to practice this idea of sacrificing something to one another in order to benefit the relationship, if that makes sense. So if it means, hey, you know, we're not going to spend this evening together cuddling because I need to go to the gym and maintain my fitness level so that I'm happy and that we have more energy and more longevity together, then that little bit of a sacrifice to an immediate situation pays dividends to the longer outcome and stability towards the relationship. The same thing, I think, applies with children, that I make a conscious effort to, you know, to kiss my wife first and to say, you know, and greet her before I, you know, greet my daughter. Does it always work out that way? You know, sometimes I walk in the door, she's the first one I see, you know, and she's looking super cute on her high chair, and I'm like, oh, hey, what's going on? You know, but sometimes, you know, I would say for the most part, I do make a conscious effort to say, you know what, let me greet and kiss my wife first and, you know, and show affection towards her. And I hope to do that, you know, for as long as we live. That way, my daughter, you know, if we have other children, God willing, that, you know, they'll see my mom and my dad, their relationship comes first. And there's so much stability and strength that comes through that relationship that I benefit from. Even though I might not get the full attention right away, I benefit more from them being together and them being unified than I do if I just get that immediate satisfaction that I was looking for. You know, speaking from the child's point of view, I think most people can resonate with that and see that that's why it's so important to maintain communication in a relationship. You know, going back to this idea of that the communication gets increased requirements as time goes on in the relationship, is I'm going to kind of give some examples to illustrate the point, and we'll end it with that. So in the beginning of your relationship, you're dating, you're living your own lives, but you meet together for dates. And you start to learn a lot about like how the other person communicates during this time. For example, you start to learn like, hey, there's a requirement for like a daily check-in, if you will, right? Especially in the era of smartphones, that like maybe early in your relationship, you're not communicating every single day. Like you might be communicating every other day or three times a week or two times a week, you know, and then, you know, you start making dates and you're starting to see each other once a month or once, you know, twice a month. And then you go from that to the date is implied that during the weekend, you will go out on a date with each other. And normally around that point, you're starting to have like this idea of, I would assume is not every relationship is the same, but there's going to be some level of daily or somewhere around there communication. Hey, what's going on? How are you doing today? I missed you. I love you. What are you up to? And it just lets you know that, hey, this person's thinking about me. They're, you know, we're connected. We are together, right? And then as your relationship progresses beyond that and you start moving towards marriage or the idea of marriage and you're, you know, considering that, you're having those dialogues, you're having that communication about your intentions. Hopefully you're having those those discussions a little bit earlier than at this point. But if not, then definitely at this stage. And the communication and the honesty and the depth of communication goes up. You're starting to talk about your values. You're starting to talk about your dreams and your goals and your aspirations, where you see yourself in 5 to 10 years. Children, religion, faith, all those things, your family background. You know, you're starting to talk about finance. You're starting to talk about, hey, are we going to have joint accounts? Are we going to have separate accounts? You know, all those things. And once you get married, well, now you almost, in some sense, have talked about everything that you need to talk about, right? So then where do you go from there? Well, in a sense, the sky is the limit. You have to be able to, at that point, be able to talk about everything and anything. Everything that comes to your mind and everything that's going bad or going wrong or things that you want to adjust in the relationship. And that needs to happen on both sides. Both sides need to show up and both sides need to address the things that are going well, that are not going well. And it's all about at that point, fine tuning. Cause everything leading up to that is the grand or the gross tuning, think of it as like the gross motor skills, right? That a child's got to learn how to do the gross motor skills before they do their fine motor skills. Okay. Well, now we're married. We've got all of this time together. We've talked about all the values. Of course we need to revisit them. And we have to reiterate those things and hash them out every now and then. But this is the stage of really fine tuning, of really being on the same page and understanding each other when conflict arises. And that is the goal, is to being able to manage conflict quickly, effectively, and sympathetically, because this all kind of circles around this idea that a fact that nobody's perfect, that we're going to have bad days, we're going to have off days, we're going to have days where we don't communicate effectively, that we're not listening to each other, that we're not hearing each other, we're not letting the other person get their ideas out. And we need to be able to have the skills and the ability to connect with one another to maintain the connection via communication. Hey, I heard you say this were you saying that my mother is dumb and you don't like her? No, I wasn't saying your mom is dumb and I don't like her. I was saying is I don't appreciate the way that she comes to our home, and she rips through our pantry and she's always talking about how we need organic food. I like this food. I don't like organic food, and I'd appreciate it if she stayed out of our pantry. Okay, well, that's totally different than saying that she was dumb. But our feelings can get hurt. We can get our defenses up, and that is why it's so important to, this is what I heard. Were you saying this? No, I was saying this other thing. Crystallize it, make it more clear. It's not easy. If it was easy, then, people's marriages wouldn't be falling apart and people's relationships wouldn't be falling apart. No one's saying any of this stuff is easy, but it is worthwhile to do. And it is worthwhile to consider, how are we communicating? Am I making myself clear when I say things that will lead to a conflict, and like I was saying earlier, the goal is to make the conflict short, manageable, and concise, and to make one point and not to finger point. And, again, it's not easy. It's not easy. But with practice and with good intentions and letting the person know the things that you do appreciate on a daily, if not every other day or as often as you can, acknowledging the good things that they do, acknowledging the things that you have gratitude towards, it will work itself out. But I don't want to make it seem like it's, there's not a whole lot of intention. There is, but the intention only accounts for so much, that there needs to be some level of skill. And And that's what we are addressed today. So with that, I'm going to leave you guys with probably a lot to think about, probably things that you've already thought about, but it does really help to hear another person's perspective. And if I would say like one crystallized like piece of advice, it is to talk about the things that annoy you, on both sides, from the, you know, from the husband to the wife to the husband. Talk about the things that they, you know, that the other person does that annoys you, and but do it respectfully and do it with the care that it deserves, because you don't want to hurt the other person's feelings, but you don't want to live in a situation where, you know, you're like constantly annoyed with each other, or things that you think that your partner can do better. You know, bring those things up, but bring it up respectfully. Bring it up in a way that is manageable. And check in with the other person. It's like, hey, are you okay? Like, you know, I know I shared this thing that probably didn't make you feel so well, but I love you. And I just want to fine-tune our relationships to, you know, to harmony, right? Like, just like we're tuning a guitar. Like, you know, this wildly out of tune. Now we're in, you know, we're getting to that ballpark. And now we got to turn on the tuner and get it, you know, right, that pitch right exactly where it's supposed to be. It's an impossible task for two humans that are different, but that's what we strive for in our relationship, is the optimal. And that's what I'll leave with you, leave you guys with for today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you for the love and the support and the attention that you guys have given us. We hope to bring you more meaningful content that will really help you guys and help us in the process too, because we're not perfect and we have lots of growing to do, and hopefully we can do that growing together. So again, thank you guys. We love you. Have a great day. Happy Easter, belated Easter to all the Christians out there. And thank you guys so much for tuning into Engaging Walk. We will see you next week. And Godspeed.